Richie Kellner joins us now after what was a fantastic day's racing at Randwick yesterday. Rich, good morning. What was your take on the Quinners Mistakes and Pride of Jenny?
Too good. I agree with you, Ray. We can talk about Craig Williams. You know what I think, hearing Craig's post-race interview, like he was riding for second, which I thought was probably disappointing in a competitive sport. But let's not try and talk about other things, and I think we do it in all sports. Let's talk about the winner, Pride of Jenny. Outstanding. Let her run. She was too good. The race was over 1,000 metres from home. Yeah, Ray, at one stage, I've got, just going off there, Sestina, I've got her about 103 metres at one stage away from the winner. No way in the world, unless the winner just stopped and was signing autographs. There was no way they were going to run it down. But well done, Declan Bates. The winner was too good. The others, well, they can try and work out their plan for the spring if they get the clash again, how they can turn the tables and what they've got to do. Very hard, because if they're going to beat Pride of Jenny, they've got to change their racing pattern to adopt to her, because she's now the big dog.
And that was the dilemma for Craig Williams. Does he go out after on Mr. Brightside early, and then no doubt he would have got very tired, or does he wait and hope she comes back? But she's an elite racehorse, and I think she's finally getting the recognition she deserves. And I'll put this to you, Rich. What she did yesterday, given the quality of the field and how well she won that race and her record this season, is she Horse of the Year?
Yeah, she certainly got claims, hasn't she? I think we spoke about last week. There's a few up for the mark. But the one thing about, you know, I think for so many times, you know, you look at rugby league and bulldog, people talk about the year in 05 with Benji Marshall and the excitement that he's flashing. We're talking about Reece Walsh. We don't talk about the defenders. And I think when you get a horse in racing like Pride of Jenny, it gets people excited. I still remember the Vaux Rogue days and even the Might and Power to a degree. So it was – the only disappointing part was yesterday was, I think in those other races in the past, we've always thought, oh, can they hold on?
Yeah.
From the 1,000 metres home, there wasn't a matter of, well, can it hold on? It was a matter of what's going to be the winning margin, because the race was well and truly over and done by then. They were just too far behind. She was running 11.5 and they were running 13.8.
I
run 13.5s on a bad morning when I got a sore foot.
Hey, Rich, I was trying to put into context what she did yesterday, because we've seen tearaway front runners. When I was a kid, I remember Scotch and Dry in a Melbourne Cup, led a Melbourne Cup by about 20-odd lengths mid-race. But by the home turn, he was getting very weary and they went straight past him. I've seen tearaway leaders in staying races at a lesser level, but I haven't seen a horse in Group 1 competition do what she did yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and look, the biggest thing was, I reckon Lindemann got scratched at about 10:30 in the morning.
Yes.
And he was probably going to be the horse that sat closest.
Which is
to
his
her.
Pattern, isn't it? That's his pattern, to sit on speed or up.
Yeah, and that's what he did when he won a couple of starts ago before being caught wide in a Doncaster. So, and then I don't think anyone reassessed after that. I think we all got into a pattern with Mr. Brightside. So Craig Williams was hauled across the coals for in the All-Star Mile going back and being defeatist. Yep. The next start, he rode it aggressive and tried to chase Jenny, got tired. Yesterday, I don't think by going forward on Mr. Brightside yesterday, then sitting and watching her get further in front, Mr. Brightside, look, at the 1,200, there's only one winner. I think Mr. Brightside, the way they rode, was just trying to beat the others. And I think if the stewards were going to be critical of Regan Bayless 12 months ago, they had to be critical of Craig and a few others yesterday, particularly Craig.
Yeah, well, as I said, there was a number of jockeys who were questioned after the race, and it made for some interesting commentary, but the stewards took no action. We'll move on to the Sydney Cup, because I mentioned earlier, Rich, that Kieran Maher had a great day. Of course, trained Pride of Jenny, trained Circle of Fire, the winner of the Sydney Cup. This day has come out of nowhere, and an incredible backstory.
Yeah, and look, you love those stories in racing, when we've spoken about on this show, and it's been well publicised, certainly in the racing press, about Stefano Cerchi and It's just tragic. I know you started the show, and rightly so, mentioning those. And our heart goes out to those at Bondi yesterday when it was going around the race course yesterday. I can tell you that I was there with my sister-in-law and my niece, and they've got Anne's got three other little kids, and she was quickly on the phone to see, because they often go to Bondi. They live at Bronte. And, you know, I think there was a lot of people from the eastern suburbs on the phone finding out where their loved ones was, and so very sad to go shopping and lose your life. But back to Circle of Fire, you were right, Ray. It was a great story. And the Aussie punters, we can be so critical of European riders. They were critical of Ryan Moore. Our jockeys go around the world and we defend them. When we get Europeans or the other jockeys come to Australia, they shouldn't be here. Well, Andrea Azzini showed great poise and patience. He didn't chase when he didn't have to. It was a great ride. And as you rightly pointed out, he's only had, the four starts in Australia now?
Yep.
And he's an exciting stayer. And I know that he didn't have a lot of weight, but boy, oh boy, if he stays sound, he's going to be in all the big races over the spring carnival. And even at the 2,000 metres weight race, because he's got that turn of speed, Circle of Fire, and I thought he was very, very good yesterday.
He is. Hey, Rich, stay with us, because we have managed to get hold of Peter Moody, so join in if you like. Peter's on the line. Pete, good morning. Congratulations again for what's been a great carnival, particularly with Autumn Angel winning the Oaks. Richie was just talking about the winning ride in the Sydney Cup, the winning ride of Mark Zara yesterday, outstanding, and the fact that you had to go to Plan B with Autumn Angel and still win the Group 1. She must be a pretty fair filly. Good morning, Pete.
Morning, team. Very special, Ray, very rewarding, and To get the job done with that filly after we elected not to run in the VRC Oaks in the spring, that was the most gratifying thing, because when she missed the Vinery, I thought it was all over. But thankfully, she was able to cope with the backup and got the job done nicely.
Peter, Autumn Angel has only had four starts this preparation. Would you consider keeping her in training for the Adelaide or Brisbane carnivals?
She'll head to Queensland this morning along with Anisa. And I'll probably have a week in the paddock, and then I'll assess their condition before I pull their plates off, or whether I decide that they push on with the preparation. Like you say, with Autumn Angel, she's only three once, and the option there probably in Queensland is the Derby for her at 2,400 rather than the Oaks at 2,200, I would think. Mm-hmm. And there is some possibility, but at the same time, we're mindful that she's had a couple of road trips up the Hume to Sydney and then the quick backup, and her objective has been achieved. So we don't want to go too far, but happy to push on if she'd cope with it either.
Yeah, I know Rich wants to ask you a question, Pete, but just quickly with Anisa, she looked one of the unlucky runners in the Golden Slipper. She came from near last to run seventh to Lady of Camelot. Yesterday, she was just too good for Lady of Camelot. I know the weight difference was certainly in her favour, but love the way she attacked the line, and it looks like she'll get over further.
Quite possibly you'd be open to that idea. She was very good, the Blue Diamond. Damien Lane just thought he rode her too close and out of a comfort zone. We were chasing Lady of Camelot that day. And then in the Golden Slipper, probably along with a handful of others, she didn't have a lot of joy from awkward draws and probably went back a bit further. So yesterday, it was pleasing to get that result, albeit not a Group 1, but a Group 2 in a very important race. I thought it was well-deserved. She's been very consistent throughout the season.
And Rich, you want to chime in there?
I was just going to say to Moods, well done yesterday, big fella. She must have a wonderful constitution, Autumn Angel, because, to back up, not just backing up, but she had the big weight, and that must have been such a testing track like 7 days ago for her to then to back up. She must be a tough girl.
I think you ask any of the boys there at Randwick, Rich and myself included, that I was amazed at how she came through the race. She's not a massive doer for a big filly, but just her general health and well-being, that run really brought her on. I said to Ray there yesterday at the races, he said, go on to Plan B, but I said it might have been a blessing in disguise, because the way she bounced through that Adrian Knox run and the way she thrived there in the week at Randwick, it was really unbelievable to see. And I so much so, I said to Mark Zara when he got on her yesterday, I said, I'm terrified that I haven't done quite enough with her off that backup and the heavy track run. She just thrived. So constitution, toughness, or just a bloody good horse, which makes my job easy and covers my mistakes, maybe.
No,
moods,
combination,
one more
everything.
Thing. 7 days ago, I thought you were Gene Kelly when you were singing in the rain at 5 o'clock in the morning. Your videos went everywhere, and I think everyone thought the races were going to be off. When you were posting that with Michael Freeman in the infield at Randwick, did you think the races would go ahead?
No. I thought, honestly, if that weather prevailed, it didn't, you know. And Michael Wood and his team, that was, you know, an unbelievable effort to get that track back. And for it to race so unbelievably well, I couldn't believe it would happen. And but congratulations to all concerned. I think probably the saving grace was the fact that it came that hard, it ran off that quick. It might have saved us. And then we had that beautiful day from about 8 a.m. onwards. That was made the day, and thank God they did race, because exactly. Both Michael and I had Group 1 wins.
Exactly. Hey, Peter, we can't let you go without asking about Prodigy. I remember, you may not remember this, but back in 2012, we were standing next to each other at Royal Ascot when Frankel won the opening race that day, the Queen Anne. You looked at me and just shook your head, and I can't say exactly what you said on breakfast radio, but we were both stunned by what we saw. Yeah. Yesterday was the same, wasn't it? What was your take on Prodigy?
Yeah, well, listen, I left the track, right? Okay. But I watched it, and an unbelievable performance. I think, for me, the two big takes out of it, one, Kieran Maher, his ability to have a rock hard and fit and healthy to be able to do that, and two, the ride. Declan Bates, he doesn't say a word. You nearly say he's an ignorant little bastard. You walk past him, you've got to bump him to make sure he says g'day to you. But the ballsiness of it, I think, was from the fact that he came back and said, listen, I was going too fast. Mm. But the fact that he didn't fight her, he worked and flowed with that horse. And, you know, most people would have been standing in the irons having her reefing and tearing. He flowed and worked with her. Phenomenal piece of horsemanship. And was duly rewarded. Like, she's a great horse, but to do it like that, he even said himself post-race, I did see the interview where he said, I was going too fast, or I didn't mean to go that fast, but it ultimately won him the race. If he had swung for home three in front, the favourite would have gone straight past him.
What do you say, Pete? Let fast horses be fast.
Let fast horses run fast. And he didn't try and restrain her. She would have used more energy up if he tried to fight her. He controlled her in a reasonable manner, but worked with her and... great effort, great horsemanship.
Yeah, it was great to watch. And Peter, congratulations to you and Catherine for what's been an outstanding autumn carnival. Anything left over for next Saturday? We've got the Champagne All Age.
Chain of Lightning, Rachel King in the All Age.
Terrific.
And I think that'll just about be us, if you can guarantee me another shower of rain. Maybe not as much as 2 weeks ago, but a shower of rain this week.
Well, stay tuned. It is Sydney in autumn. Congratulations, Pete, again for the win yesterday with Autumn Angel. And thanks for joining us on a Sunday morning.
Thanks, boys. All the best. I hope you're going to ring me next Sunday.
Good on you. There's Peter Moody. And, Rich, thank you for staying online and chiming in. There might be a little extra something in invoice this week.
Now, have a great day, boys. And I'm great to see Bulldog up. I thought he'd still be in, having a little bit of a cry. Candace Warner was voted out of the jungle on Thursday night.
Oh,
hope
really?
Okay,
I saw that. Yeah,
you've been watching Home and Away, wouldn't you, Dino?
Devastation.
You've been watching Home and Away, wouldn't you?
I certainly was.
He never misses Home and Away, Rich. Hey, good on you, Rich. We'll talk next Sunday.
Yeah, boys, have a great day.